Nikki Meats, Pantry Boy Faithful, we are back in the pantry. No place we'd rather be, regardless of when you're listening, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It don't matter. You're in the pantry. We're here to talk food and food only, and we're doing so with a very special guest. Meats, we got to give you the credit to this one because this is a great get. I've always wanted to talk to a UFC fighter because I think these guys are just nuts. It amazes me they could do what they do. Who pulled off the UFC fighter? Of course, ours truly, Nikki Meats. Who do we got today, Nikki Meats?
Today we got the number 5th ranked lightweight fighter in the world, Michael Chandler, coming on today to talk food. Now, Michael was the first guest we are having on that is not only a UFC fighter, but asked if he could have the privilege of coming on to the show. Michael Chandler reached out and said, love what you guys do. I would love to come on and talk food. And when stuff like that happens, you got to sit back and you really got to say, wow, because it just validates what we're doing here. I said, Michael, absolutely. This was about 2 months ago. He's been running around doing ESPN, moved down to Florida for training camp. He's been dieting like crazy for 12 weeks. He's been a busy guy. We finally got him on today. I have a great feeling about this episode. I don't know if someone's going to invite themselves on to the show, especially a show like this. You got to expect that they know what's going on.
They speak the language
too. You got to expect that they speak the language. You know what I mean? So I have very high hopes. I've seen, not blowing smoke up his ass, but I did a lot of research and he has done a lot of things for the community. He's done a lot of things outside the octagon, that are really just very inspiring. He's a very, what seems to be a very down to earth, humble guy. So I'm excited to bring him on, see what he's got to say about food. And I just want to pick his fucking brain about the UFC. Cause you're right. It's unbelievable what these guys do when they cut weight, how they attack in the ring. It's ridiculous.
And what's amazing is he's an unbelievable commentator. Not only is he a great UFC fighter, for ESPN, he's an unbelievable. He's got like a lot of the Daniel Cormier to where he announces. He's a great fighter. Big fight coming up against Justin Gaethje at Madison Square Garden. But this is going to be a fucking doozy, Nikki Meats.
Let's bring him in. Bring him in.
Michael Chandler.
There he is.
Hey, what's up, boys? The Pantry Boys. I can't believe it.
Wow. Look at those shoulders, Nikki Meats.
Holy smokes.
Jesus.
I'm not even, this is how I walk around. I'm not even flexing.
You can't even fit in the door frame over there, no. Mike.
Oh, dude. Hey, actually, that's a running joke in my house. I freaking pop my elbows out like this and I hit myself on the door. And then I walk in the door sideways and my wife is like, You're such an idiot. It's a size small. You got to go a size small. You know,
you wear a size small.
This actually might be a medium, but yeah, I mean, I obviously in my workout gear and stuff, I wear all smalls because I want it to be as tight as possible, so you don't get your ears and fingers stuck and stuff.
You see, I just made the jump from the size small to the size medium, and I got to tell you, it's a really good feeling when you finally get out of the size small. My friends give me shit for it all the time. But nevertheless, yeah. Michael Chandler, how you doing, man? You ready to talk some food?
Dude, I'm good. Yeah. Food is, I have a love-hate relationship with food. You know, I've been cutting weight since I was 14 years old. So yes, I would love to talk some food.
Jeez. So before we get into it, for those of the people who are at home listening, watching on YouTube, and don't follow the UFC, can you give us a little bit of background, who you are, where you come from, what you do?
Yes, sir. So, I actually signed with the UFC 12 months ago, a little over 12 months ago. I'm the number four ranked lightweight in the world, fighting Justin Gaethje November 6th at Madison Square Garden up in your nest, absolutely, neck of the woods. So it's another big fight in the lightweight division. But, you know, I started my career outside the UFC with Bellator, another organization, a rival organization, kind of the legitimate number two organization. They started in 2008, so they didn't quite have the platform, you know? So I fought in Bellator all those years, cut my teeth, tried to keep a good reputation, tried to have a good track record. The fight record spoke for itself, the performances, and then signed with the UFC. As I said, a year ago, came in, beat number 5, fought for the title, fell short in May 15th, fought for the title, lost And then now here is my comeback fight at Madison Square Garden. And it's, as I said, you know, since we're talking about food, I was a wrestler first. I wrestled since I was 14.
Oh my God.
All throughout high school, all throughout college.
Uh-huh.
Graduated May of 2009, fought my first fight in August of 2009, and been watching my weight and, you know, cutting weight and dieting since I was, you know, 14 years old. So that's, like I said, love-hate relationship with food.
Can I ask you, I got so much respect for what you guys do, because I could not fathom being able to go into the octagon and do what you guys do. Do you think to some degree, before we even get into the food, do you think to some degree you guys got to be somewhat nuts to be able to go in and do it? Because I just couldn't fathom the idea of being able to do that.
Yeah, you know, but I think so. But I think we all have different callings on our life, you know. I do think, and actually this fight currently that I'm about to fight is very interesting, because Justin Gaethje, my opponent, has to tell himself that I hate this guy. This guy hates me. I need to go out there. He's trying to kill me. For me, I'm not motivated by that, the carnage side of things. I'm not a confrontational person. I a lot of times shy away from confrontation. It's something I've had to work on in my marriage. Even just confrontation with my wife, if there's something that needs to be brought up, I'd rather keep my mouth closed, tuck my tail between my legs and go off in the corner.
Smart man.
But I enjoy the competition. I enjoy hand-to-hand combat. I've been doing hand-to-hand combat against another guy my size with two arms and two legs since I was 14 years old. So it's kind of ingrained in my DNA. But I also think, you know, I would challenge that thought to think that, you know, we have to have a screw loose, because I think Rosa Parks had a screw loose. I think Martin Luther King had a screw loose.
Can't deny
I think
that
anybody,
I think anybody
who's ever been a change maker, who's ever made an impact in this entire world, was not average. First of all, none of us are born average. We choose to be average, but you have to cultivate that, and you have to believe that what you're doing can make a change. So I think, yeah, we have a screw loose, and some of the fighters out there definitely have a screw loose. But I think, you know, man, I'm just an everyday average guy who, you know, God called into a sport that I got to go do damage inside of a cage in front of millions of people.
So what you're saying is that your motive for going into the octagon is not to hurt somebody. It's more of the competition aspect of that. There's an obstacle in front of you that you need to defeat.
It is. Yeah. And cause truly, I don't humanize the sport. I don't humanize my opponent. I don't look at my next opponent even as a man with a heartbeat. I don't think about his thoughts. Jesus. I don't think about his stuff. I see two arms and two legs. I see a head. I see targets. And then I know what I have to do, what I need to do to go out there and win. So of course, you know, the cuts and the blood and the stitches and the knockouts and the chokeouts, all of that is a byproduct of this beautiful sport that we call mixed martial arts. But my approach to it, I wouldn't say it's, you know, it's necessarily, you know, domesticated. It's right. You know, when I'm a different animal when I walk inside that octagon, and then I walk out and kiss my wife and hug my son and try to inspire and motivate people.
When you get punched in the face, is the adrenaline pumping so much, especially like the fight you have coming, you're going to have a big crowd. When you get punched in the face, is the adrenaline pumping so much to where you almost don't feel it in a way?
You don't feel it at all. And that's why I would also challenge that, you know, we're tough and we got to go through a lot of tough stuff, but what you guys see as fans, you see the cuts and you see the eyes swelling up. I mean, last week at UFC 266 or whatever it was, the main event, both guys had, you know, blood coming from both their eyes. Both eyes were swollen shut, but you know, chances are they weren't really feeling any pain. But you know, so not to downplay our toughness, but yeah, adrenaline is a heck of a drug. God created our bodies to be able to be in those types of situations. Thank God that we don't exactly, you know, feel all that pain every single time we get punched, kicked, kneed, elbowed, and choked.
Jeez. So I got to ask you, since you're talking about how you view your opponent across from you in the octagon, you don't dehumanize it. You say you see with two arms and two. So how the fuck do you look at a piece of steak? Like, do you
see now? That's where my primal instinct comes out. Okay. That's what I'm like.
Good leverage into the food meats, because I didn't know how we were going to get into that. I didn't know how we were going to pull that off.
Actually, yeah, steak is my thing, man. I love steak. I don't get to eat it a ton in camp, but outside of camp, man, my favorite thing in the world is taking my wife to a nice steakhouse.
There's nothing like it. Yeah, there's nothing like it. So. Exactly. That's great, because you segued into my next question for you. I can imagine the amount of calories you burn up in a workout. You probably work out multiple times a day. Obviously you got it. You're taking in a lot of water. You're in the sauna. You're doing your recovery. What is a typical day of eating for you when you're in training?
You know, there's all these different, we've heard all the stories. You know, Michael Phelps was eating 20,000 calories a day, and or this athlete or that. But unfortunately, or like even you think about CrossFitters, I've been around some of those guys and gals, and I've watched them work out, and I see how hard they push their body, and they have to ingest a ton of calories. Unfortunately for me, I have to go from upwards of 190 pounds down to 155 pounds over an 8-week period. So I'm pretty much always working at a calorie deficit. And I'm eating whole foods. I have a meal prep company that delivers my food. I have it. And then it's essentially just three main proteins. It's either ground turkey, ground bison, or chicken. And then every now and then I'll make my own salmon coupled with broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. And
so you're eating like a bird.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's pretty much two a day. So from those meals, I'm probably getting about 900 calories plus a couple of protein shakes. I mean, I'm usually capping it at the most 1300 to 1500 calories a day. Yeah. And that's with two workouts a day, plus some other stuff I got to do. And then that's why supplementation is so important. BCAAs. And then I take a supplement called Beet Elite, which is basically powdered beets, which helps you, helps your cardiovascular
I'm
system.
Fascinated.
And like the difference in our diets. It's
I'm passionate. Absolutely. So you're eating 1500 calories a day working out when you're trying to cut weight. Bob, I'm not saying this as an insult, but I don't think you really understand what that's like. That is fucking insane. So like, how do you fight through that like mental battle of being hungry? Because I assume you're going to bed hungry every night and waking up starving. You must feel flat. Like, how do you find the energy? You know what I mean?
You do. And I love that you actually asked that question, because I think that's people's biggest fear. I think people's biggest fear is, I don't want to give up what makes me feel comfortable, what makes me feel happy, what energizes me today, because I don't want to feel that feeling. And luckily, you know, just as we talked about the way our bodies were designed with adrenaline and whatnot, I think our bodies also adapt. You know, a couple of years ago, I stopped eating breakfast. So I don't eat breakfast anymore. I wouldn't call it a true fast, because I get coconut oil. I put coconut oil, so I'm getting some fats in my coffee, a non-dairy creamer. So I'm getting calories in, and I'm taking all my supplements, of course, but your body adapts to it. And it takes a week or so. And at night is some of the hardest times, because everybody lays in bed and they're like, just one little snack, man. You know? So, but just the consistency of putting your calling over your comfort, because we know food is comfort, but the calling is so much more important. And for me, luckily too, I do have the benefit of feeding my wife and son and my family by what I do. So it's not as though, you know, if I don't make weight, I lose a percentage of my purse. If I don't diet correctly, I'm going to have a subpar performance, which precludes me from making a great income for my family. So I have a different, it's my job. You know, when it's your job, it's a little bit different.
Absolutely.
Now, Michael, when it's all over, okay, you finish your fight. Yeah, like when you finish your fight with Gaethje, okay, not even just from a life perspective. Okay, now you made the purse, win or lose, you go out of there. Even from a food standpoint, how much of a relief is it to where, okay, it's over until the next fight, now I could kind of let loose?
Man, it's the biggest relief, and it's actually really imperative too, because truthfully right now, what I do for a 12-week period is not sustainable to the human condition. You know, I really am like a robot. Every single day is Groundhog's Day. I'm at the same coffee maker, then go to the same practice, then I have the same food, and then I have to sit on the same couch and do my do my research, or I'm making business calls, or I'm doing some other stuff, or I'm doing podcasts with the boys, or, and then I go to back to the gym, then I eat dinner, then I fall asleep, and it's Groundhog's Day every single day. So doing that is exactly what I need to, that is the list of things that I need to do to be successful on fight night. But then after that, it's time to take a day off. It's time to, yep, you know what? I'm not going to go work out today because I just don't want to, you know, hey, today, instead of working out, I'm going to take my son to the park, or, hey, today I am going to eat that pizza, you know, because, and it's, of course, you know, the huge health addicts will say, well, that's bad for you. And of course it is, if you do it over long periods of time, but for a guy who is a literal robot for 12 weeks straight, I need to feed my soul. I need to feel, I call it feeling like a normal human being, you know, because right now I don't feel like a normal human being. I have so many limits put on me, so many different disciplines that I have to make sure I stick to. And there's pressure that comes with that, but there's also a lot of freedom that comes with that because I know I'm doing exactly what I need to do.
Well, listen, like this,
you would beat the living shit out of me, Michael. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this guy would fucking humble. This guy would absolutely knock my lights out.
Hey, listen, hey, I got a couple goals in life. All right. I need to be happy. I need to be healthy. And I need to be hard to kill. And I think I'm one of the hardest to kill guys in life. So if you're not living your life like that.
Unreal. That was unreal. Mike, I got to ask you, do you like when people call you Mike or Michael?
It's one of those things where I prefer Michael, but man, I'm not going to be mad at you.
No, Michael.
I'm a lover, not a fighter, you know? Well, Michael. Both, but you know.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, I wouldn't go so far. Yeah.
I
mean, but, you
know. I don't know about that, actually,
when,
Michael.
When you, okay, so you just were a robot for 12 weeks straight. It's Groundhog's Day. You're getting 1,500 calories in a day. You're working out like a dog. You have your fight. What meal are you going to eat after your fight that's going to just satisfy your soul and just make you feel like,
had to, yes, be asked, baby. So had to be asked.
It's a phenomenal question, and it's somewhat of a sad one, because when your body and your system, your digestive system, all that stuff is so used to eating 1,500 calories a day, your stomach is now the size of a tennis ball. Oh, you know, you're eating. I know. I'm setting it up. For the big letdown. Oh, and no. So my flesh, all I want to eat, I want like a pizza. Crush a pizza. Absolutely. Pizza's absolutely probably my favorite, you know, kind of carbs, you know, we all, and I don't eat a lot of carbs throughout camp. Really, the only carbs I'm getting are from whole vegetables or a small amount, 4 to 6 ounces of sweet potato, per day or per meal. So yeah, I mean, a big doughy pizza, it will absolutely crush me. I have a couple bites and it's just like taste buds are dancing and all of a sudden stomach's like, yo, bro, what are you doing to us? What are you doing to me?
So you can't stomach a lot of slices is what you're saying.
No, I can stomach about 2.5 slices. And then I'm like, what am I doing to myself?
Yeah. That's it.
But then luckily, your body, your stomach expands, your body kind of readapts and kind of figures itself out. And then you're going to eat a whole pizza a week later.
This could be a stupid question. Probably is. But like when you walk out of the octagon, will you have somebody order the pizza for you so that by the time you get home, it's there? Or do you wait till you get back to the hotel?
Actually, that's a phenomenal question it's a phenomenal question because here's the problem. Every single time it's always, well, before COVID, every single thing was completely different. Now, even after COVID, now it's harder to get food. It's harder to, you know, be around people, you social distancing and delivering all that kind of stuff. But even the biggest problem, like Madison Square Garden, we're fighting on the East Coast. I'm the third to the last fight, but I've been the main event before and numerous times. And you're the main event. You don't get done fighting till 12 something before you get done with the press conference, all that kind of stuff. It's 1:32 in the morning. The only thing open, luckily, is pizza places, but the bar at the hotel's closed. You know, you maybe want to have an adult beverage if you didn't get hit in the head too much. It's closed. You know, you got to set things up like, hey, manager, you know, you ask your manager, hey, can we get this set up? Can we get some drinks for the people who are going to come back and hang out? Or can we order some food from the local place? But it's always one of the hardest things. And also,
it shouldn't be like that, man.
Yeah, I know it shouldn't. They should keep the whole city open just for us. Fighters, yeah,
no, they
no
should. They
what.
Should. No, but they should, though. They yeah. should. They it shouldn't be like
I got news for you, Michael. I might order you the fucking pizza.
I was just going to say, I'll order you a fucking pizza, Michael. I'll get a pizza right shipped to your door on fight night. Don't you worry.
Man,
I'll
that's
that
good.
Up.
Sponsor. See, man, I'm picking up a sponsorship with the Pantry Boys. I love it, man. Now we're talking. I want you guys to hand deliver it, though. You got to hand deliver.
Oh, absolutely. If you're fighting in New York, you said November 6th?
November 6th.
Madison we'll Square talk. If you want good pizza, Mike, I mean, New York is the place to be.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you said you get done around 2 a.m. Joe's Pizza is open till 3. So see, we'll figure Joe's. It out. You got nothing to worry about on that end. You came to the right place.
Let's go.
He actually likes Joe's Pizza so much that in Nicky Meats's room, he cut out one of the boxes, the pizza boxes, and stuck it with a thumbtack onto his wall just to show you how much he likes it.
Yeah.
That's good. You know, you got to have your passions in life, man.
Oh, 100%. And peaches is one thing I'm actually looking at it right now. It was from a box. I cut it out and I put it on my room at home. Now I'm in college in my dorm room and I stuck it to the back of the wall. And it's funny, without going into too much detail, I had somebody come over last week and she was like, "Wow, you really like fucking pizza, don't you?" And I say, "Yeah, what do you think, you know?"
Yeah, you just got done talking to her for 2 hours about pizza.
About, all of a sudden literally, we were talking about Joe's Pizza and how it's a slice place versus a pie place. And then we go upstairs and there's a whole thing. And she, it's working out great. But anyways, Michael, listen, I mean, we didn't know what to expect because, like, I knew that you were very regimented. You have to be if you're going to be a high performance athlete like yourself. So I was very curious to see what this was going to be. And you just came in and not only did you give phenomenal thoughts on food, but just like, you're really one of a kind, man. You really are. Well, you got something. You're a gem, man.
That means
thank you.
I just want to say before you do close it down, that was, I've always wanted to talk to a UFC fighter.
Amazing, man.
And it's just, it's really cool. It's interesting to hear and the respect that I have for what you guys do. And, you know, come that fight against Gaethje, people are going to have a lot on their mind. I just can't wait to watch you walk out of that octagon and just know he's about to just dive into a well-deserved pie.
Yeah,
that's exactly.
I can't wait.
After you kick Gaethje's ass and I see you walk out of that octagon, I'm going to say to myself, that man is on a mission to get a nice pizza pie. And he's going to have 2.5 slices and then he's going to knock out.
Got to go crush it at the press conference first. Let everybody know what's next. Get the title shot next, hopefully after that. And then we have a pizza. But I mean, yeah, it's like I said, for me, of course you can say the word sacrifice and discipline, but you know, I always tell people that on their fitness journey. I mean, obviously you guys talk about the beauty of food and all that kind of stuff. And there's so many people out there who struggle with food and they eat too much or they want to eat the wrong things. And people always ask me, well, how do you stay so disciplined? And I almost have this kind of fail safe where, well, really I get paid to eat well, I get paid to perform at a high level. So I commend the people even much more than myself who don't have to make weight, who just want to live a healthy lifestyle, who just want to say, hey, I'm going to make this commitment for 60 days, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it is. And I'm going to commit to this diet. I'm going to try this diet. I'm going to try this kind of, I'm going to get my blood work taken. I'm going to look at all my different, you know, hormone levels. I'm going to look at my food sensitivities. I'm going to look at all that kind of stuff because truthfully, God created our bodies and our minds and us as people to thrive. And you can't really thrive without great fuel inside of you, but both what it does mentally and physically. But I have the luxury of, you know, being paid to eat well, you know, cause that's what I have to do as an athlete.
I mean, that's a phenomenal. I mean, you can't get a better perspective than that right there. I mean, this guy literally just said, like he, it's easy for him because it's his job. He's got more respect for the people that aren't getting paid to do it. I mean, Michael, you really like, thanks for coming on, man. It was an honor.
I call them the unsung grinders. That's what I call my people out there. Cause I mean, that's the people, they don't get their praises sung. You know, I get my praises sung all the time and millions of people see me and they see the pictures and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, man, but it's the unsung grinders out there. The people that are getting after it, working a 9-to-5 and still finding time to get to the gym, still finding time to eat right and planning all that kind of stuff. Those are the kind of people that are really doing great things with their life. And I mean, I am too as well, I believe, but you know, I get, as I said, it's my job and it's my duty. It's my duty and the promise that I made to my wife and son. And it's the duty that I have for all my followers and supporters.
Michael, I hope you kick the living shit out of Justin.
Out of you? Out of you?
No, out of Gaethje. I hope you fuck that guy up, man.
Oh, I hope you fucking pummel this guy. Oh, that was great. That was great.
Okay, fine. Okay, fine. I guess I'm, I don't like to lose. So I guess I'll just go win.
Michael, you are seriously one of a kind. Thank you so much for coming on, man. We appreciate it, man.
Appreciate you guys, man. Thank you guys. I'll see you in New York, hopefully.
Thanks, Michael. We'll get him, brother.
Yes, sir.
We always get excited to end up going mano a mano, and then that's when it turns and we get really excited. With that being said, though, that was, whoa.
I mean, food conversation aside, that was one of the best conversations I think I've ever had with someone, or the privilege to have with someone in my entire life. That guy gave so much knowledge, insight, wisdom. I mean, he's like fucking Buddha. Like, he's like fucking...
What I thought was, and by the way, for those who don't know, I mean, that Justin Gaethje is a very good fighter.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big, big, and I'm not even much of a UFC guy. That's a big fight.
I hope he kicks the shit out of that. I do too. I hope he fucking kicks the shit out of him.
You know what was amazing to me is that he said that when they're in the octagon and they get hit, they don't feel it. It is amazing, because if you look at these guys, they're getting the shit kicked out of them.
They look disheveled. I mean, they got the cauliflower ear. They got gashes coming out of their face, and they don't feel it, which is nuts. The other thing that was nuts that he said that kind of like was hard to understand because I've never done it before is he said when he gets in the octagon, it's a guy with two arms and two legs. That's fucking insane.
That's a guy who will kill you.
That's a guy. That's a killer. I mean, that guy will kill you. That guy will fucking end your life. No, yeah. Nothing.
No.
Then he's got the balls to say he's a peaceful, non-confrontational person, which I believe. But in that octagon, you better believe. You know what it's. You know what it reminds me of. I feel like getting into the octagon with Michael Chandler is like going to the zoo and like tripping and falling into the tiger den. And, yeah. It's you and a tiger. And you have no way to get out.
But you know what you caught him on that he said that he wanted to backtrack immediately because he said it and it just didn't work. Anybody else it could work with.
What did he say?
He said, well, you know, I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah.
And we said, Michael, just hold on.
Well, Michael, how about we put the brakes on? 2 minutes ago, you were talking about killing somebody. This didn't make any sense. But yeah. Michael Chandler. Yeah,
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I mean, just. When after he kicks the shit out of Gaethje, I mean, you and I and the Pantry Boy faithful are just going to know a little bit more about what's going on inside that guy's head.
Yes.
Because what he's thinking is, where is my pizza pie after he won the fight? Well, I mean, you know, he's going right for the pizza pie.
Watching him walk out of that octagon. I got to watch this fight. I don't care what it costs.
I need to watch this fight.
Got to watch the fight. But anyway. It is all good and all. We got our own cage match here. All right, Dickie?
We got our own octagon going on over here.
It's okay? Time to talk food, okay?
Right and now, you're just a guy with two arms and two legs, Bob.
Talking food, okay? Okay, we're going to let it rip. Mano a mano, top five with a take. I got the honor of doing the top five here today.
Yes, you okay? do.
Closing down with the voicemail. Voicemail's already prepped, rocked, ready to rock and roll.
Absolutely. Good on you.
Do you want to rip out the top five or you want to go?
I think we should. Let's do the take first.
Sure.
Okay. Because before the show, Bob actually called me and said, first of all, we're not sorry that the top fives are always similar. We're not. It's
good
just
for
the way
you. I'm glad you
just,
said that.
No, but it's just the way that it is. Okay. We don't apologize. We're not sorry. It just so happens that me and Bob, okay, are on the same page 24/7. Yeah. However, I got a call today from Mr. Robert Berger before the show saying Nikki Meats. By the way, when Bob calls me every time, I mean, I was walking back from class and it's the same intro every time.
Meats.
And then it's cantaloupes. And it don't matter who's around. Sometimes he's on speaker. It's one of those things. But Bob said there's no way we're going to agree on that top five. And I'm excited to see, but we'll wait to get to that. Right now, we're going to do a take. And it's a take that we talked about before, not on the show, on the IG Live. It was probably one of the first things we've ever talked about. And I'm going to bring it back to the top here, resurface it, because I think it deserves that. Okay. I talked about it last night with one of my friends. And I said, you know what? I think I'm just going to talk about it on the pod tomorrow. So you go to a burger joint. Okay. I want to get you in a mind frame. You go to a burger joint, okay? they're special. It's a burger place. It's not a pub that sells burgers. It is a strict burger restaurant. That's their food. Okay. You go to the build your own burger section. Okay. What do you think, Bob, is the most obnoxious topping that you could possibly put on a burger that a lot of people get, or that not a lot of people get, but that you just want to get the fuck out all off the menu? Because I got one, and it's going to ruffle a lot of feathers, okay?
I think I know yours, and
it's going to ruffle so many feathers.
If this is what I'm thinking it is, you said it, and I remember you said it, and I instantly agreed with it. I think it's obnoxious topping. I'm going to ask for the three count.
We're doing yours. Okay.
Because yours is going to be mine. I think it's obnoxious.
Okay. I think it's fucking stupid.
One,
two, three. The fried egg. Yeah, fuck the fucking egg, man. You know what? The fucking egg, it's obnoxious.
Totally.
Obnoxious.
Obnoxious topping is the egg. I think, you know, the burger that's already so good, I think we're trying too hard with it by doing the egg. But, and I said it to Jack Arnold, I do stand by it. I do think there's a lot of things out there that we're not trying. The egg,
yes,
to me,
yes,
with the reason I think it's obnoxious is the yolk completely takes over.
It takes over the whole thing.
Not just the hamburger. It takes over the plate. It gets into the fries that are next to the hamburger. That's why I find it obnoxious. With that being said, in regards to the hamburger topping, something that really made me realize that there's so many different things we could do with the hamburger. I talked about it on the Jack Arnold episode. I was in Nantucket. Okay.
Yeah.
And I had the Surf and Turf burger. It was a hamburger and it had lobster on the hamburger, like crushed up lobster. It was out of this world.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I just hate the way the yolk just takes over everything.
You know what? The yolk's kind of like the French onion soup when you put it on a burger.
In a way, it is.
It's very arrogant. Okay. It's very protective. It's very possessive. It feels like it has to control the room. Listen. The fucking yolk, the problem with the yolk is, first off, when you bite into a burger with an egg yolk on it, okay, and you go to bite the burger, not only is the juice from the burger coming out, but now the egg yolk is, you know what I'm saying? You're biting it like, and you're trying to catch the yolk. And sometimes, and honestly, this is the main fucking reason why I don't like the yolk on the egg, is the finger, when the yolk gets on the finger, okay, and it gets in the crevices of your fingers and you don't pay attention to it, and then it kind of dries up a little bit. You ever get the in-between yolk shit that's going on?
It's stuck in there.
And you got to like peel it off with your fingernail and it's all gross.
Okay. So something that's out there. Okay. And I might like it. I wouldn't try it. I just couldn't get behind it. Is, you're a big Taylor Ham guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Do the Taylor Ham egg burger is a thing. People are throwing the I just think it's too much.
I think it's too much. I think you're trying to do too many things. It's kind of like making too many sequels to a movie, you know?
It's Fast and the Furious.
It's Fast and the Furious. Just stick
the egg on the hamburger is the Fast and the Furious.
Is the Fast and the Furious. And that's just, and that's the truth. You can't do not
It really is. It sounds ridiculous, but it's true.
No, but there's no need to overcomplicate the burger. And to be honest, like, people think it's cool to add the egg onto the burger. I don't think it's cool one bit. I really don't. And honestly speaking, okay, for whatever reason, the yolk flavor mixed with the beef is not a flavor that I really,
I agree, like,
that really Good makes take. Sense to me. It doesn't Good make take. Sense to me. I'm sorry. Okay. For everybody listening, I'm sorry. The egg and the beef do not make sense to me.
You
go on fucking TikTok, you see the guys with the steak and then they'll put an egg yolk in it, dip it in the, it's not good. I don't think it's good. I think it's totally so fucking agree. Stupid.
I think people want it to be good. But
they
I just think we're trying too hard.
You're trying too hard.
You know, at the same time, I don't mind like a little mac and cheese on a hamburger. Yeah. Get creative in that regard. There's something about that egg yolk. And what you said is true. The egg doesn't go well with the meat.
That's what it is. It's that, like you would think that the egg yolk has a very like powerful taste. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Which it does, but when you pair it with something that also has a powerful taste, like a piece of meat, they clash. Okay. Yeah. And nobody wins the fight. You know what I'm saying?
I totally agree.
It's a draw. It's a complete draw. There's no clear, distinct winner in the fight between the beef and the yolk. Okay?
I'll tell you who I could see loving egg on their hamburger. Like I would call him right now and I could almost guarantee you he would love it.
You want to say it on three?
You want to do a three count? Let's yep. hit it with a three count.
Okay. One, two,
three.
Tyler Cameron, you motherfucker. He definitely likes that fucking egg yolk on his burger. He definitely does. He is the classic egg yolk.
1,000%. Like,
he probably weighs about the egg yolk on the burger. And you know what it is, too, about the egg yolk burger people? Is that when they tell you about it, they think it that like they're saying some shit. Like, they think that they're saying some shit that's like, you never heard this before, like some NASA type shit. And the way they tee it up is like, what you do is you take the burger and like you throw a little egg on there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I guarantee you, Tyler Cameron.
Yeah.
That. We got to put that to the test.
We got to find that.
Now, meats, we got a top five coming. Okay, and I'm glad that you said it. We do not apologize for similar.
No, we can't. No, we don't. We can't. We really don't. Because then it's disingenuous. Yeah, exactly.
With that being said, I think we have a top five that I just don't think there's any way it can match up. I think there'll be some similar items in the five for sure. I don't think we're anywhere near the same cadence on with this one. And here's what I'm going to need for you, Meats. I know you're not huge onto it. I think you definitely had your heyday in it. Same thing with me. I had my heyday in it. Still dabble from time to time. We're going to talk sodas today. We're going to be talking sodas. And what I'm going to be asking for is Nikki Meats' top five sodas.
This is a great cue, Bob.
It's going to start a war.
You're on fire today.
So many different takes with the soda game to where I just picture this on Pantry Boys IG, and I just picture
this is going unreal. Well, I'll put it to you this way: I don't need a minute. No, when I was a kid,
distinct on
very well versed in the soda.
See, that's what I knew you had your heyday. I know you're not really dabbling in it now. I knew you had your. But to be honest, we all had our heyday, right?
You had to have had your heyday with the soda. You ever hang out with the kid whose parents don't give him soda, and then he comes over and he has 17 Sunkiss? You know what I mean?
But then you got the friend that the whole family drinks the soda.
It's a fucking festival.
I used to love the 12-pack, the 12-case in the refrigerator, the one that kind of rolls to you like you're in a store. Like you take one rolls.
And it's a replacement. Yeah. Phenomenal packaging by the soda companies. I mean, the design concept on that is ridiculous.
And, you know, we did say meats, which I think is very true. Maybe we said in the last episode, a couple episodes ago, is that there are things that just taste so much better with the soda.
With the soda.
And fries.
Oh, the absolutely. Slice.
It's not a Poland Spring water. You better believe it's some sort of soda.
Absolutely.
So, with that being said, we're
going to go 5-1 again, correct?
We're going to go 5-1.
Correct? I like that. Shout out to whoever suggested that. I like the 5-1.
Yeah, some people want 1-5. I like 5-1.
I like 5-1. We'll go 5-1.
I'm just pulling mine up. I had to write it down. I'm surprised you know it.
No, I know it. I know it for sure.
And I can't react.
You're not going to like this one. You're not going to like the list. You're going to fucking hate this list.
I think I know it's going to be in your one that's just going to get buried.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. So number five, I got Mountain Dew. Okay. I got Mountain Dew at the number five.
Real good five.
Every time I say one and I like look at your facial expression, I want to burst out laughing like you have no idea. I got Mountain Dew in at the number five. Okay. It's a great soda. Okay, a little bit of a younger generation soda. You know, if you're still, you know, our age drinking Mountain Dew, kind of raise a couple of questions, but I like one every now and then. Number four, okay, is gonna fucking fuck you up. Number four is I got ginger ale, okay, at number four. I got Canada Dry.
In case you're sick.
I got Canada Dry ginger ale.
It's a sick soda.
I got Canada Dry ginger ale. It is a sick soda.
What are you going to put crackers as your number one food too? I mean, I just absolutely hate that. I absolutely hate ginger ale being in the top five. It's a sick soda. I mean, you might as well put Pepto-Bismol on there. When was the last time?
Can you let me say the fucking top five? You're supposed to have a poker face. You're making me feel like shit. I think it's a refreshing soda. I really do.
What food? Soup?
I haven't thought about the food. I just like the taste of a Canada Dry ginger ale. I think it's a refreshing soda. That's all. Okay. I think it's a refreshing soda. Number three.
All right, sorry, go ahead.
God, that was such a terrible take, man.
Because now
I have more sodas. Can I take that one out? Can I take it out, please?
Oh, please.
Can I take it out?
But I want the people who didn't watch this episode to know that you were.
I put in for a little bit of time the ginger ale at the number four spot over Mountain Dew, which is just fucking stupid. Okay. All right. Number four, instead of ginger ale, I'm going to go with A&W root beer. Okay.
Okay.
At number four. And I have a feeling that that's on your list and it's a little.
I'm just trying to keep the poker face. I think it's a disaster but
the A&W root beer, I think it's on your list and I think it's a little bit higher than number four.
Okay. You have to stop with the eyebrows.
I know, but the eyebrows, you should never play poker, Bob. You should never play it.
I feel like you've never gone second in a top five, and I want you to because you know how hard it is to keep the straight face.
Okay.
I want you to be able to experience it because it's not easy.
No, fair enough.
A&W at four.
A&W at four. At number three, I got Sunkist at number three. Okay. I got Sunkist at number three.
Is that Sunkist orange soda?
At Sunkist orange soda. Yeah. Okay. I got Sunkist at number three.
Okay.
Number two, I have Sprite. I have Sprite at number two.
Okay.
I love Sprite. I think Sprite's fucking fantastic. I think Sprite is unbelievable.
I'm not even talking about your list. I think you are a mess right now. I'm not even talking about the amount of soda cans
I have floating over my brain right now. I am. No, Bob, I'm a complete dreamer. Just after I said Sunkist at number three, I said, well, do you think it really is? Like, I'm really struggling here. Two, I got Sprite. And number one,
I knew it was going to be there. You got to explain it.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to love this answer. And then there's a lot of people who are going to fucking hate this answer.
Yeah, I know exactly. Can I get a three count?
You want a three count? Let's do a three count. Okay. Let's go three for three.
One, two, three.
Diet Coke.
It had to be. I knew it was going to make
Diet Coke at the number one. I got Diet Coke at the number one. And wow. I'm not changing yet. Diet Coke at the number one. A fresh DC is absolutely unbelievable. It's unbelievable to fresh DC.
I'll defend you here. And by the way, you know that when that goes up on the IG and there's
I'm getting destroyed.
But I'll back you there. I'm not even going to do the poker.
Diet Coke. I mean, if you don't like Diet Coke, you should figure it out. Because it's absolutely ridiculous.
And I think, you know, it might sound like an adult thing to say, like ridiculous. But once you get in on the Diet Coke train, the regular Coke is too much sugar.
It's too much sugar. It's too much. You take a sip and it's like, no, I don't want it.
I agree. I totally agree.
Before we get into your list, I just have to say, I've been very disappointed with the Diet Dr. Pepper recently. I've been very disappointed with the Diet Dr. Pepper.
In what regard?
I just think that it's just not, it's not holding up its own anymore. I think it used to be a very great diet soda. And now I just feel like it just has no passion in the soda anymore.
I feel like they kind of gave up on it.
I feel like they kind of gave up on the Diet Dr. Pep. And I it really is disheartening, because if it was better, I would have put it on my list because I used to love it. Now it just, I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me.
I think that's fair. I think they've kind of given up on it. I cannot take.
Yeah, it felt good to get that off my chest.
Dr. Pepper has not done a good marketing job at
all. Yeah.
It's a great soda.
Someone's got to tell the doctor, man, that they really need to figure out how to market that soda, because it is. It's a fantastic tasting soda. But anyways.
Now, Meats, run. So just run me through that again, please. So just for the folks out there.
We got Mountain Dew. We got A&W root beer. We got Sunkist. We got Sprite. And we got Diet Coke.
Okay.
That's pretty good list.
All right. There it is right there. Subbed out the ginger ale. Thank God.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah, that just didn't sound right.
I got more of an exotic. There's some exotic ones in there, and then you got some basic ones. Five is going to be exotic. It's one of those, if you know, you know. If you don't.
Okay. I think I know what you're going to say.
Meats, if you said this, I would give you so much credit. I would it'd be the most impressed with you I've ever been. that doesn't sound good because we're talking about naming a soda. But I would be blown away by if you knew this. I don't think there's any way.
You want to try it?
You want a three count?
Let's three count it.
All right. We've hit every three count so far.
One. Two.
Three.
Stewart's
Dr. Brown
Origin
Black
Cream.
Cherry. The best is when you say it and it's two totally
Dr.
different.
Dr. Brown's.
Now, Beats, do you know Dr. Brown's?
Who the fuck is Dr. Brown's?
Dr. Brown's Black Cherry Soda. You get it a lot in a deli, Jewish deli.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I think if I showed you the can.
Yes. Yes.
Bring a
yes.
beer. I actually got it here because I was prepping for this. Does this look familiar?
Yes, yes, yes.
It is. I'm telling you, Meats, if you pair one of these bad boys with a deli sandwich, cup of matzo ball soup, deli sandwich, this thing is lethal.
Really?
It's a phenomenal, phenomenal soda. It's a nostalgia soda for me, too. We had it a lot growing up when we would go to delis and whatnot. The Dr. Brown's Black Cherry is a no-brainer. It's one of those, if you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Absolutely.
So we'll see how people respond in the comments for that. Number four, I'm going to have one that you had high. It definitely made my list. I think Sprite's got to be on there.
I think Sprite's got to crack it. Sprite has to crack it. I'm a little taken back, you know, to be honest.
That it's high up?
That it hasn't cracked the top three, yeah. I would have thought maybe in the three spot. At least for the Sprite, but that's okay.
You know, it's such a, the most iconic Sprite has found the way. You got Coke, you got Diet Coke, and then Sprite. You know, in the, when you have one of the paper cups and they pop the thing to let you know which one is which.
Yeah, like
it's,
yeah,
Sprite
yeah.
has made it on there, which goes,
yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
I mean,
you gotta have
Sprite made it onto the lids. Okay.
You don't see Mountain Dew on there.
You don't see Mountain Dew, and you sure as hell don't see ginger ale on the fucking lid.
Who's the jury that decides what gets onto the top of the plastic cup?
Yeah, who makes that decision?
I don't know.
It's a great question. You think they got a board? You think they have like a board of people?
Somebody's calling the shots on
and
these.
And then there's some schmuck that comes in and says, maybe put Dr. Brown's Black Cherry on the thing.
Yeah, I mean, somebody, and to get on there, it's great marketing. I mean, you know what
I
mean?
Oh, yeah.
You think
you got to pay money to get on there? You probably got to pay a premium.
You'd have to pay a lot of money.
I mean, if you think about it, that lid is probably getting thrown around millions of times a day. Millions. If you crack that fucking lid, if I'm a soda company, my goal as a company will be to get myself on a plastic cup lid.
Every time somebody goes through a fast food joint, whatever, they're seeing that label.
Every time.
There. Yeah, and by the way, the employees, they don't even do that anymore. They never click that thing down.
No one's following the protocol. No one's clicking the shit.
And if they do, it's the wrong soda.
It's the wrong soda. They have no idea. It's the most pointless thing on the face of the earth.
But boy, would I kill to have my soda.
But I would love to have my soda on that label.
It's huge. It's not talked about enough, Meats.
No, it isn't. No, I'm very glad you brought that up.
So Dr. Brown's Black Cherry, 5. Sprite, 4. Diet Coke, 3. Me and you agree with the Diet Coke. I mean, you had it at 1. I got it at 3. Same thing. I just think the Coke is too sweet. I think the Diet Coke goes the best right now for me
like
with
3. It's like, what's better? Like, am I like, what's better?
I got 2 bangers. I got 2 bangers lined up that I could tell you what is better. You know, even with me having Diet Coke at 3, I still think I'm going to get ripped for that.
Oh yeah. 100%. I think Diet Coke's got to be 1 or 2. I honestly think that Coca-Cola invented what soda fucking tastes like. I think it's a disservice to soda. I'm kind of going to grill you here a little bit. I think it's a disrespectful thing to...
I think people are going to grill me for having Diet Coke in the top 5. Because the people who aren't on the Diet Coke train are going to destroy our taste.
Yeah. You know what I mean? No, you're right. Yeah. They come for that neck. They really do.
Yeah. Now, the Diet Coke community will be there for
you. The Diet Coke community will be there to help you. So if this when the anti-Diet Coke people come, the Diet Coke people come in and protect you when the other Coke people try to bring you down.
The problem you have, though, is I don't think the Diet Coke people are going to be as vocal as the non-Diet Coke
people. Yeah, the non-Diet Coke people are very vocal. They're very, very vocal. They like to be loud. It's kind of like the Hidden Valley Ranch people.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, yes.
The anti-Diet Cokers and the Hidden Valley Ranch people come from the same
guys, yeah.
The apple, they're the same guys, okay? The apple don't fall too far from the tree. If you're a Hidden Valley Ranch supporter, you're also a Diet Coke hater, okay?
2, I'm going exotic. I'm going exotic, okay?
You know what I feel like? I feel like you're like the Stewart's glass bottle guy.
You keep going back to the Stewart.
I just get a Stewart's glass bottle vibe from you. I really do.
No.
Or a Boylan. You see the Boylan ones?
I know the ones you're talking about now. I mean, this might throw you for a little bit of a loop, but if you've had it, there's no denying it. In the number 2, I got Mountain Dew Code Red.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
If you would have got that, I would have been so.
I knew it. I said he's going to say a weird Mountain Dew. He's going to say the blue one or the red one. Unbelievable.
Oh, you have had it. I thought you
yes.
jump on
Oh, me. Yes. Oh, yes.
Is it not unbelievable?
It's unbelievable, but I think, you know, it's kind of like the whole Danimals thing, you know, like, you're 28, you know, you're drinking Danimals.
Yeah.
You're 28. What kind of soda do you want? Hey, babe, give me a Mountain Dew Code Red.
I know.
It's just,
let me tell you, the Mountain Dew's bad. Imagine you go to dinner with your girlfriend's parents and you order a Mountain Dew Code Red. Oh, the Mountain Dew's tough enough. The Mountain Dew Code Red.
Mountain Dew Code Red is just a terrible look for the, I mean, if I'm the father, I'm saying this kid's got no plans. This kid's got no plans with my dog.
But I got it at 2.
It's a phenomenal soda.
Unbelievable soda.
It's a phenomenal soda.
And then for my number 1.
I'm so curious.
Is a soda that I just don't think gets enough credit. I really don't. And maybe it's their own fault because maybe they don't do a good enough job.
Okay, I think I know what's coming here.
Of Martin, do you want another 3 count?
I'm very confident, and I want a 3 count.
Should be.
Yeah.
1.
2.
3.
Cream
Dr.
soda.
Pepper.
No. Oh, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
You keep going back to the well on the boiling.
I just had a feeling that you were going to be like a Stewart or a boiling guy. Dr. Pepper at number 1? Are you fucking serious?
I love Dr. Pepper. Love Dr. Pepper.
Oh.
I think they've done a terrible. The only time you see Dr. Pepper do a marketing job is when the college football playoff at halftime, they have the people throw it in.
I just
love Dr. Pepper.
Look at your face.
I love it.
I think it's a good soda, but like, bro, you can't put Dr. Pepper over Sprite and Diet Coke.
I disagree. I disagree. I love. Do you know?
I think we're equally going to get crucified.
I was going to say when the polls come out, I think this could be the one time where They're not.
There ain't a winner. Yeah, there ain't a winner. I mean, everyone is like, everyone disagrees. There's so much debate here. Yeah, yeah. Because soda is like, there's so many, you know, like.
I do think, a lot of people listening to the Pantry Boys today, and you got to get a soda now. Like,
I mean, you got to go downstairs and get yourself a soda.
Yeah, I'm going to tag you right in. I'm going to do a Dr. Brown's Black Cherry with a deli sub, and I'm going to tag the shit out of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, please.
It'll be interesting. The poll's coming out.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited to see.
Damn proud that you got ginger ale out of
there. I'm very happy that I excluded ginger ale. Honestly speaking, I have no idea what possessed me to come out and say ginger ale at number four. I mean, who the fuck drinks ginger ale unless they got a stomach ache? God.
You know? Saved yourself from multiple.
I have. You know what it is? It's an impulse. You know, it's just a reaction. And then I think about it. I'm like, well, you probably shouldn't have said that, you know?
Mickey Meats, it's time for the voicemails. You can call on into the voicemails. We want you to be a part of the show. I got the voicemail ready to fire here. You can fire in your voicemail 347-470-3827 to dial on into the voicemails. We have Nikki from New Jersey. I apologize. That's David from New Jersey coming in hot.
How the fuck you messed that one up?
Because he says Nikki out of the gate. Okay. And then, okay. I'm glad I got to clarify.
Shout out David from New Jersey.
Nikki Meats, Bobby Burger. I think I got a question for you that's really going to shake up the pantry. This is David Mills calling from Montclair, New Jersey. All right, so we're going Gatorade flavors. What is your number one Gatorade flavor? I'm going that light blue Frost Glacier Freeze. And Nikki Meats, even that zero calorie one, ain't too bad either. All right, boys, let's get it.
I mean, a short question, but a phenomenal question.
But a good one.
Short to the point. Shout out David from Jersey. Short question, but an absolutely fucking crazy,
by the
awesome
way,
question.
You know, he mentioned to you about the Gatorade, the zero. I can't get behind it.
You need to start.
Is it good? You need to start.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic.
I always expect the Gatorade taste in anything that wavers from the actual Gatorade.
No, it's very similar. It's very similar. I honestly think you got to commit more to it. I think you're already going into it turned off. And I think that when you take a sip of it,
you know what
I mean? I think it's over before it's even begun sort of thing.
I think if you go into it
with more of an open mind, I think you'll be much better off. With that being said, in my eyes, there's only one answer to this question. I am very, very passionate about this answer. Okay.
Yeah.
I am a OG yellow Gatorade.
Whoa.
It's the best.
I don't know.
But for me, honestly speaking, like, the Gatorade flavor thing, it has to be an OG flavor. Like, you can't just throw out like the cucumber lime pepino.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with it.
If you would have thrown out the cucumber lime pepino, we would have had a big fucking problem. Okay. Because the cucumber lime pepino Gatorade is the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
You can't throw the mango. You can't throw the cucumber.
The cucumber lime pepino. You can't throw in the cucumber lime pepino. Imagine being outside all day long, sweating your balls off at a baseball tournament, and then you open up the cooler and there's four cucumber lime pepino Gatorades in there.
I don't know.
I'd rather eat sand.
It's so good. It's so good because you can't throw.
Your favorite Gatorade flavor can't be cucumber lime pepino. Okay.
Yeah, no, you can't. You just can't. Do you know what though means? I consider the yellow Gatorade like the yellow Starburst. I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of people. I went there. That's so fucking stupid. Yeah, no, I did.
Nah, that's fucking stupid.
Means I think it's very. I really do.
I disagree heavily.
The pink is like the blue. I think the blue is the most popular.
Yeah, I agree. Cool Blue. I think Cool Blue is the most popular.
Now, red is not like the red Gatorade, because I think the red Gatorade out of the main Gatorade is probably the least popular, I would say. Is that crazy?
Yeah, I would say so. I think it's too much of a heavy flavor. I think it's too rich. You know what I mean?
I will say with the yellow, it's a light, smooth sip.
Yes,
it travels right down.
It's a very You know what the thing too about Gatorade that they just do better than anybody else? You never really know what it feels like to be hydrated until you chug a Gatorade after you just played two pickup basketball
Great
games.
Great take.
You ever be at the rec and you're sweating your ass off? You just played 2 games to 21 and it was win by 2. So the game went to 25. You go back to the bench and you just crush a Gatorade. You literally feel so hydrated. It's unbelievable what they're able to do.
And I don't, as good of a marketing job as they do, which they do one of the best, I do believe that the taste is just that good.
Yeah.
And like you said, you really do feel yourself being hydrated.
Oh, but yeah, absolutely.
I would go Cool Blue.
Okay, I saw that coming.
Love Glacier Freeze. And then
Glacier Freeze is a great one.
Another one I love that you don't see enough is, you know, the Riptide Rush, the purple.
Riptide Rush, a great one.
Fantastic. I thought you were going to jump on me.
Riptide Rush, a fantastic Gatorade flavor. It's a terrible Gatorade flavor?
Yeah, talk terrible Gatorades to me.
A terrible, besides the cucumber lime pepino. I think that the white one, you know, the Glacier Cherry, It is a terrible game. They should throw out every bottle they have. It's horrible.
I'll tell you, I will do this for you, because what you said, you nailed it in regards to the Gatorade Zero. I want to commit.
You need to be more open.
It was over before it began. So right about that. I need to come in with a different mindset.
I almost want to bring on Michael Chandler back on right now just so he could walk you through, like, going into having a Gatorade Zero, because I think he would fire you up to have a Gatorade Zero. I think he.
I got so many more. Look, we have not had a recurrent. We had Todd Frazier who came on the live in the Pantry Place. I'll go on the record and say this as we close down. If Michael Chandler wanted to come back, I would have Michael Chandler on.
In a second.
We didn't even really get into
food. We didn't get into anything. It was just unfucking believable. It was the best. It was amazing. If you tuned in to this week's episode, you really got yourself a gift, and you should be very thankful and grateful for it, because that man is one of a kind. I can't say enough things about him. Can't say enough things about the support we've been getting on the podcast with the voicemail. It's so much fun. We love you guys from the bottom of our hearts. We're only going to keep growing. Bob's got a new show that just came out. Bob Does Sports. Give that a follow on IG.
Appreciate
that. We got big stuff coming. We got big stuff down the road. We love you. We'll see you next week.